I'm Richard van der Berg.
And I'm Duncan MacLeod.
This is Talk Central, episode 143, for the weekend starting 1 April 2016.
Talk Central is brought to you by Tech Central, where you'll still find South Africa's best technology journalism.
On Talk Central this week, we chat about the iPhone SE and the iPad Pro 9.7-inch.
Also this week, Microsoft's announcement at Build and the spectrum crisis facing South African mobile operators.
Let's get to show on the road. And this is not an April Fool's.
Well, welcome to the show. Hi, Rafa.
Hi, Duncan.
Good. Before we kick off, let's do our quiz. Do you want to kick off with the first question?
Yes, let's get into it. What is the screen size of Apple's new iPhone SE?
Easy one. Next question, which bank has the most ATMs in South Africa? And for a bonus point, which bank is second?
Third question, Dimension Data's sister company NTT Data has acquired an IT service subsidiary of which giant American technology company?
Fourth question, Eskom hiked its tariffs by how much on 1 April? And no, this is not an April Fool's joke.
And the last question, what is the name of the new stock exchange being launched in competition with the JSE?
Great stuff. Well, let's get into the news then. Rechot, yeah, we've been away for a while. You got married, then I got married.
Yeah.
We've been on honeymoons. And
kind our of lives have changed, and now we're back.
Now we're back, yeah. Same people, but different.
Yeah, and strangely enough, I think the most exciting things that's happened in the industry has happened the last week before we record, you know. So
yeah, indeed.
Just
stuff
we didn't miss too much.
No, we didn't. It was a bit quiet while we were away. I think the industry paused itself for us.
I'd like to think so.
Anyway, wish you. Anyway, Apple's big keynote. Okay, that was about 2 weeks ago now.
Yeah.
But interesting announcements. I thought a bit underwhelming. iPhone SE, probably the most underwhelming thing I've seen from Apple in a while. A lot of criticism. I had a long chat with well-known local technology analyst Arthur Goldstuck about the SE, and he was really critical of it. He said that this should have been introduced as part of the rest of the range, not as a separate announcement.
It would have
fitted in, you know, when they launched the iPhone 6S, for example, as an iPhone 6S mini or an SE for that matter. But as a standalone product on its own, it seemed it didn't really deserve that sort of attention. What's your thought?
I completely agree. I love the fact that they did it. I mean, it's an amazing phone. Let's not get that wrong, I think. You know, it's got all the internals of the iPhone 6, you know, in the smaller body. But I 100% agree. This should have been done a long time ago. This is not something you want to make a big hoo-ha about as something that should have been a first thought, not a second, you know, afterthought on a range.
Do you think it is right, though, that they introduce a 4-inch phone? It's going back to the form factor of the iPhone 4 and 5.
Yeah, I mean, they obviously had, they had the molds ready to go, but I'm not a big fan of the smaller screen size, but I know a lot of people do. My wife, for example, wouldn't buy the iPhone 6, so she's sticking with the iPhone 5.
Yeah.
And this is a phone that you would upgrade to. I can totally see that happening.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so there is a market for it. Because I was wondering about that, and also in my conversation with Arthur, and it's certainly something that's been led by the Android world, and that's the move to these bigger phones. And that move has been based on the fact that we've gone from holding these devices against our heads and talking to looking at the screens to do our email, and now increasingly to consume media content. So they've grown in size, and the market seems to have moved in that direction as well. You still think that there's a market out there for what is a very small, now in the context of the rest of the market, a very small device?
I don't know about potential new customers, but I think I'm sure they've had a lot of feedback from existing customers saying that they prefer a smaller screen. I guess it's par for the course. You know, some people are going to rave about a bigger screen, and they're always going to try and go for something that's larger. But you don't want to go bigger than, I guess, you know, six or 7 inches, really. Then it becomes something else.
7 inches.
It's a phablet tip. They could have maybe done a little bit more with the form factor. Maybe give it a little bit more life. But I'm not against the look and feel of it. You know, like I said, I can definitely see there's a market. I don't think it deserves its own all the hype. It should have been introduced earlier.
It is coming a little bit cheaper. It almost in a way feels like Apple's attempt again to do a lower cost device like they did with the iPhone 5C a couple of years ago. That multicolored cheaper looking iPhone didn't seem to work. It was almost an experiment that failed.
Yeah,
now they're coming back with another experiment. But something that looks more like a traditional iPhone than something that's perhaps a little cheap and nasty. This looks like the real deal, even if it's in a you know, 2 years ago shell.
Yeah. I mean, I've just got a photo loaded up here of the iPhone SE, the iPhone 6, and the 6S next to each other, and it's a nice lineup. If I'm a new customer, I'm going to iPhone into a store to do an upgrade, and I look at these three. If I'm kind of leaning towards a smaller screen device, I don't really have a need for a bigger screen. I can totally see the appeal in choosing the SE. It's a very nice looking device, and it's powerful.
Why go for the shell of the iPhone 5 though? Why not use the same design as the iPhone 6?
If I were to guess, I would say because a lot of the accessories, covers and pouches, I guess, is already out there. Now, if you're going to introduce a new form factor after you've done, but remember there was that big thing with the when we went to 6, with larger accessories, it took a while for some of the guys to pick it up. With this form factor, you know, those guys don't have to change. They can potentially produce new accessories based on the old moldings. I think that's probably why they kept it the same.
Interesting.
And having done so, it obviously means that I think it's going to stay around for a while, that shape.
Certainly. Of course, we've got the iPhone 7 launch coming up four or five months from now. And we're on the big iteration, if you like. Apple has a minor iteration, then a major iteration, then a minor iteration. And this is a major iteration here. So are we going to have a new look iPhone in the market later this year, and then the SE, or do we have a new version of the SE coming out later this year as
That's a good question.
It would seem almost too soon to introduce a new SE. I mean, they've just introduced this one now. There'd be a lot of upset consumers if they announced a follow-up to the SE in September.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be a follow-up to the SE.
The other question is, if there isn't a follow-up to the SE, then is the SE always seen as like a stepchild or a separate product that gets announced in a different cycle to the main iPhone?
I guess the question is, what's going to happen to the 6 and the 6S when the 7 comes out?
They'll probably just continue selling them like they did with the 6. Just at a lower
And then eventually price. Phase it out.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I haven't been following much of the rumors on the 7. What is the main thinking behind it? Is it going to be a larger screen, or is it just going to be different design? Maybe an edge-to-edge screen on a 6S, on a 6OS body.
Well, you'll be amazed when I read this week about what may be the main feature, and that's a curved screen.
No.
A la Samsung. Oh, he's copying who?
I don't see any appeal on those edge-to-edge screens.
Those curved screens, yeah. I think Samsung's S7 is a very nice-looking device. I also haven't had a chance to play with a curved screen device, so I think the jury's still out on that one for me personally, but they certainly are very nice looking phones. If I was to get an S7, I probably wouldn't go for the curved screen version. Personally,
it just seems a little fragile in my opinion.
It does, and you want to put a cover on your phone, and you know, if it's got a curved edge and you put a cover on top of that curved edge, it kind of defeats the purpose, doesn't it?
I agree.
Anyway, also a new iPad, which borrows a lot of the ideas from the larger iPad Pro. Of course, the new one's also called the iPad Pro. It's the same size as the iPad Air 2, but you can get an optional pencil with it now as well. Steve Jobs must be turning in his grave. A couple of improved things like better sound, I think better to read in bright conditions, but nothing revolutionary.
It's a baby pro.
I'm not gonna upgrade my iPad Air 2. Don't see the point.
Yeah, look, it's. I think again, there is a market for this. The MacBook Pro. I haven't seen it. I haven't played with it. But
iPad Pro.
Yeah, the iPad Pro.
I used it in the iStore the other day. It's a beautiful thing. I mean, the screen is massive. If you want a great media consumption device for use on the couch, the iPad Pro is fantastic. And I think it probably also has a lot of professional applications as well, especially if you're an artist.
Yeah, that phenomenal. I mean, what you can do with a pen is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I can see that Pillen doing a slightly smaller version.
Yeah.
Maybe this announcement was just about, you know, taking half a step back and introducing the things we should have launched.
Mm.
Maybe it's just their way of staying market relevant and keeping the hype up around the brand.
Mm.
But I think if I were to upgrade... I mean, I would certainly go for the 9.7 inches if I were to upgrade. But like you said, that bigger screen is just
it is
majestic
nice.
To look at.
It's damn expensive, though. I mean, I was looking at the 128 gigabyte model, which was retailing for, I think it was 21,000
rand. Oh, I'd rather buy another MacBook.
21,000 rand. You can buy a nice laptop at that price, yeah. Of course, the weak rand has played directly into those prices. And it has improved a little bit over this week. What was the Constitutional Court judgment? On Thursday,
yes.
Regarding Zuma, that sent the rand up quite a bit, but it's still fundamentally weak.
It's going to hurt us for a while.
We have to dig deep for our gadgets, unfortunately, and that includes these new iPads.
Yeah, look, it's a good thing we're not artists needing it.
We just want it. Because
Look, I mean, if I look at my iPad consumption, it's really a media player. I just watch Netflix on it, really.
Yeah.
And now with my phone screen being cracked, unfortunately, I also use it, you know, to just stay up to date with other things. Yeah. But
I use mine. I never buy the cellular version because I almost never take the thing out of my house. When I do, I just take a little portable dongle with me.
You got your phone. Your phone also. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I use it for media consumption. I actually use it mainly to read. Pocket in particular.
Yes.
I send stuff to Pocket all week long on my PC and read it over the weekends on my iPad, just because I don't have time during the week.
Yeah, yeah.
And I read magazines. It's mainly what I use my iPad for. And the iPad Air 2 has Retina display. It's fantastic. I see no need to upgrade.
Yeah, nice. Mm. Just on a side note, what magazines, I mean, do you use a software service for it, or do you just get PDFs?
Oh, magazines. I just subscribe to them in the newsstand app.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
So I subscribe to a bunch of music magazines and trail running mag, a couple of business magazines.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Okay, cool.
And it works well. It's a really nice experience. I read Wired on there.
Yeah. Because there's a service I saw the other day that actually has a lot of these international magazines, including Vanity Fair, Wired, Popular Mechanics.
Zinio.
No, not Zinio. It's a service like that.
Okay.
But it seems to have a lot more titles. Okay. I don't know. I haven't compared it to Zinia yet. That's why I was
quite curious.
How's
the price? Is it the pricing?
It's on par. It's much
on par.
Yeah,
okay.
Anyway,
I'm actually glad how some of the price points for some of the magazines, they've gone up with the rand falling, but if you compare the price you're paying for those magazines on your iPad compared to what you would go and pay for the print edition in the CNA.
Oh, it's like 100 rand difference in any of those cases.
Yeah,
maybe I should do that. I mean, I do miss reading magazines. I do enjoy it. I mean, there's a lot of content you don't get on the internet.
And some of those magazines are so well done. They've got interactivity. They've got videos integrated into the magazines. It's really well done.
Who would have thought that?
And you can get some great subscription deals. I mean, Wired magazine, I subscribe to, I think, for a 92% discount off the government. paying virtually nothing for the thing.
Nice.
And it's a great read.
Yeah, and I mean, you can keep those issues, right?
You don't have to
clutter it up in a corner somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. And you can actually delete them from your iPad and re-download them later if you want to.
Yeah, I would have thought print magazines still have a function, you know, in a digital world.
Yeah, no, indeed.
But anyway.
Anyway, from Apple to Microsoft, and this week has been the big Build Developer Conference happening in San Francisco, and some interesting announcements coming out of there, some news around Windows 10. We're expecting, what are they calling, an anniversary update.
Anniversary. Please let it not be a SE edition. We've seen.
Millennium edition,
yeah.
And they're promising some updates in there. I think one of the most interesting is that in effect, Linux is coming to Windows. Shock horror! Where's Steve Ballmer? Throwing some chairs out of a window somewhere, no doubt. But
again, I think it's one of those features that, unfortunately, even though it was shied away from, it's so necessary.
Yeah.
You know, especially keeping Windows so relevant. Yeah. I mean, it's lost.
Like the fact that the Bash shell is coming to Windows, because I drop to the command line reasonably often, and I know. I mean, I used to work in DOS. I'm giving away my age, but you know, when I started messing around with computers properly. there was no Windows. It was DOS, MS-DOS.
Yeah,
yeah. So you hacked around that command line a lot. But in later years, I ran Linux as my desktop for a couple of years exclusively. Must have been mad.
That's yeah, total geek out
back
there.
Back in the late 1990s. I learned the Linux command line. I'm no Linux command line expert, but you know, I know a lot of the basic commands. And I actually feel more comfortable working on the Linux command line than I do on the DOS command line. And you know, often when I go into the Windows command line, I end up typing a Linux command, and you know, it's giving an error message saying "file not found" or something. And I'm like, what's wrong with? Oh, wait a minute. Although already I've noticed there's some. You can use some Linux/Unix commands in Windows. I think even in Windows 8 you could. Just type cmd, fire up a command line. You could type something like ls instead of dir and you get the directory listing.
That was almost like just putting a veneer on, just making sure the right commands. But
this is much more. This is Linux integrated into Windows. Now, if I've understood what I've read correctly, and maybe you can correct me here, Rechot, basically what's happening is they're working with Canonical, which is Mark Shuttleworth's company that develops Ubuntu, and they're integrating the whole of Ubuntu, excluding the kernel, into Windows. And so you not only do you have access to the bash shell, but you can run Linux applications within Windows, within Ubuntu, running on Windows. Is that right?
Yes, that's also how I understand it. Mark Shuttleworth actually said in a statement, and I'm reading the quote here, where is this now? The native availability of full Ubuntu of a full Ubuntu environment on Windows without virtualization or emulation is exactly what the is what they're doing here. So, that's integrated.
I love the fact that he says this is a milestone that defies convention and is a gateway to fascinatingly unfamiliar territory. Talk about caging your
friend. Yeah, that's why I didn't want to read it. I thought it was a bit much. But yeah, I think this is long overdue.
Yeah, and this is great.
It's going to keep a lot of the old school geeks happy.
Yeah.
And maybe even culture new fans of the platform.
Could this, and this is an interesting question, a lot of the guys who hardcore Linux guys who were running, instead of running Windows, they were running Linux on PC, be it Ubuntu or whatever distribution of Linux, a lot of them moved to Mac. Because of its Unix underpinnings. You look at a lot of guys who look after Linux servers, who develop in Linux, who are Linux fanboys. They use Macs. Will this entice those users away from Mac and to using Windows?
I think it could. I mean, let's be honest, Windows is still the preferred platform for a lot of IT guys out there, geeks, anybody that's, I guess, doing some dev work.
There's a lot of religious hatred towards Microsoft amongst the Linux community. Certainly there used to be, but maybe that's changing, and maybe this will help soften attitudes towards Microsoft.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Microsoft has certainly changed over the last few years. We've seen a lot of interesting things from them that we never thought would be possible. Let's just
embracing Android.
Yeah. And I mean, we were speaking about it before the show with the disappearance of Windows Phone devices. Now,
well,
this could be
not quite the disappearance of Windows Phone devices, but certainly, you know, they had this launch of the 950 and 950 XL, which are their latest flagships, and we're not seeing them. Certainly not seeing them in this market.
Mm.
And at the Build conference, there was, apart from a few demo phones, which seemed to be an equal number to the number of iOS and Android devices that they used on stage. It almost seemed like they were playing down Windows Phone as a platform.
Yeah, maybe a big change is coming. Because, I mean, if we look at also what they're doing with Windows and the Xbox platforms, where they're integrating the software builds on that. Mm. So you essentially have one app or one game that offers the same code base for both platforms.
Yeah.
You can start guessing where that could go, and perhaps
some fundamentally interesting things happening at Microsoft since Satya Nadella took over and Steve Ballmer headed for the exit.
Mm.
What were some of the other things?
Some of the other things. Yeah. So, I mean, Cortana, it's not quite big in South Africa, but there's been some really interesting improvements. There are some interesting improvements to Cortana coming out, especially from what I understand in terms of normal language, kind of conversational. You can have a conversation with it, and it would understand when you're saying, please get me that file from last night I was working on.
Okay. Please so, yeah, fetch me a beer from the fridge.
Yeah, please.
That might be 30 years off still.
yeah, no, for sure. They also announced HoloLens is shipping to developers. Okay. You don't know how much you know about HoloLens.
I want to get my hands on that.
I think that's going to be... I mean, I'm surprised at how quickly virtual reality and these headsets and...
Well, this is augmented reality.
Augmented reality,
That excites me more than these VR headsets, I must say.
Yeah, I agree. The overlay on real world things, I think, is really...
Minecraft on your coffee table.
Oh, I love that idea. That video, if you haven't seen it yet, there is a video where they show...
Yeah.
Kind of demo this, and it looks absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, for sure.
Obviously, there's going to be a new... they also announced Windows Ink, which is a new application, obviously, I think, to kind of rival what Apple is now starting to do.
Sorry, what's it called?
Windows Ink.
Oh, I-N-K.
Yeah, I-N-K. The last thing... they were talking about bots. Bots is going to be, I think, the buzzword for the next few years.
Yeah.
But they demoed some of the integration with Cortana and a new bot framework that they've built that will allow developers to do, to actually build their own bots to handle a number of tasks or handle any task, really.
Yes.
I think that's going to be interesting. There's still a lot to learn from what bots can do.
Mm.
But, I mean, that we're actually talking about small pockets of artificial intelligence, I would say.
Mm.
It's the best way to kind of describe them.
Mm. Mm.
Very interesting stuff.
That was Build. I think on that note, we need to take a break. We will be back after this message.
Hello, world. Hello, information. Hello, uploads and downloads. Hello, streaming videos and low latency. Hello, blogs and vlogs. Hello, crystal clear video calls. Hello, increased productivity. Hello, online learning. Hello, cloud. Hello, long lost friends and missed connections. Hello, limitless possibilities and instant gratification. Say hello to premium high-speed fiber from Vox Telecom. Pleasure guaranteed. Visit voxtelecom.co.za for more information.
Chicken or beef? Chicken or beef?
Chicken.
There's so many companies offering fiber at the moment, but with Vox Telecom's premium high-speed fiber, you'll be joining the Smile High Club.
Duck or salmon, sir?
We call it business class fiber. We guarantee our uptime and can tailor our services to suit your needs and budget. Say hello to business class fiber from Vox Telecom. Visit voxtelecom.co.za for more information.
Well, welcome back to the show. Interesting article I ran this week. Had a chat with a number of the operators about spectrum, radio frequency spectrum. And I know, Rachad, we've spoken on the show many times about it before, about the delays that we've seen in getting spectrum in the hands of the operators for various reasons, one of them being the delay in the migration from analog to digital terrestrial television, which has gone mysteriously quiet, by the way. Nothing's, there was the switch on and now it's gone dead quiet. The SABC hasn't done anything, ETV hasn't done anything, MultiChoice has switched on a service, but the Minister of Communications has gone dead quiet. It makes a mental note to follow up on that, but then the delays, the interminable delays in government issuing a policy on accessing the spectrum and how ICASA should make it available has also added to the delays. So I spoke to the operators over the last week about the impact of this, and they say that this lack of access to spectrum is actually starting to affect their ability to roll out infrastructure. And they're specifically talking about deploying 4G LTE advanced infrastructure, and then obviously down the line 5G, which is not really for commercial deployment just yet, but 4G LTE advanced, which requires a lot of spectrum. It's spectrum hungry, and they just don't have the spectrum to be able to do it. So they've been refarming or reallocating a lot of their spectrum, their 2G spectrum for 3G and some of their 3G spectrum for 4G, but they're sitting on limited amounts of spectrum, so they can't actually deploy those next generation technologies. I know Vodacom, which has the most number of subscribers in South Africa, is particularly stuck because they're sitting still with a huge base of legacy customers who are using 900 megahertz, some of them 900 megahertz, some of them 1800 megahertz. But those are 2G customers with feature phones or even more basic telephones that still need to make phone calls. And they are making phone calls in the millions every day. And those guys don't have devices that support LTE. So networks can't switch them off. They can't switch off their 2G infrastructure. You know, I'm sure Vodacom and the others would love to switch off their 2G networks tomorrow if they could, and switch everyone to 3G and 4G voice.
Mm.
But they can't do that. And how you address that situation is difficult. I mean, do you subsidize expensive handsets and give them to everybody in the market? That's probably unaffordable. So the only other option is to get access to more spectrum. And of course we're waiting for the 700-800 megahertz digital dividend bands that the broadcasters are currently sitting on to be freed up, and we're waiting for government to come up with this policy so that Ecasa knows how to also allocate spectrum in higher frequencies like 2.6 gigahertz for example, which is basically not being used by anybody at the moment. And so we're in a position, and you know, you talk to the operators and they say that you know, operators, in especially in developed markets, have been given access to the spectrum, and they're rolling out LTE Advanced at quite a pace. But locally, we're stuck, and we can't do it. And it's actually starting to affect you and me as consumers, because we can't use these services. I mean, if you're Telkom, you can, because you've got a huge chunk of spectrum, legacy spectrum, handed to you by the government many years ago, over which you can deploy LTE Advanced in the cities, at least. Telkom also doesn't have spectrum in the digital dividend bands, and needs access to spectrum below 900 megahertz or below a gigahertz. But it's a problem for all of these operators, and the government really is dawdling on this. They were supposed to finalize the white paper on ICT, or an integrated ICT white paper, policy white paper, by the end of March, which they failed to produce. It's currently being discussed in cabinet committee meetings. Goodness knows what's being discussed.
You had one job, people.
And anyway, it's become a problem now. As predicted years ago, it has now become a serious problem in that the operators can't deliver the next generation of broadband to this country.
Yeah, it's sad. At least we have fiber, but we'll talk more about that later.
The fact that there is this delay in rolling out LTE Advanced and possibly 5G down the line is great news for the fiber providers, because there isn't a wireless alternative, and may, in fact, it may have the positive impact of propelling the likes of MTN and Vodacom to accelerate their fiber to the home rollout plans because of the fact that they don't have access to spectrum, and may in fact also prompt them to investigate using the ISM bands, the Wi-Fi bands.
Yeah.
More aggressively as well, which the Wi-Fi guys will probably not be very impressed with. But
look, there is potential for a new technology or a new way of using existing technology to, you know, to bring out that good old South African initiative, and maybe we'll see something interesting as a result.
The problem is that, you know, these are all standards that have to go through bodies like the IEEE, and without the standards in place, the hardware manufacturers aren't going to produce the devices.
Sure, sure.
You need the cheap compatible devices to get the adoption. So we may come up with a solution in South Africa, but without the cheap Chinese made devices flooding the planet to use with our solution, it's not going to work.
Well, that's not really viable.
Mm.
Anyway. Just shows you the repercussions when government drags its feet, I think.
Yeah.
This is a case study on that.
Yeah. And
hopefully it'll get addressed.
Anyway, did you have a chance to see some of the April Fool's Day jokes?
To be honest with you, I shy away from the internet on the first
day. Oh, dear. Okay, yeah.
I plan all my meetings for this day, and yeah, I've deliberately not.
Did you see Tech Central's this morning?
No, I didn't.
Oh,
I
must you apologize. Missed
us. I did not.
We had a go. Look at the story, Zuma to split telecoms department.
I saw it, but it didn't seem. It seemed real. And I thought, oh, okay.
Well, that's the point of a good April Fool's joke, is to get people to think it's real.
Well done. I completely saw the headline and I thought it was a real story. Especially in light of Wednesday's announcement by the Concorde. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it might be payback, but.
No. But. I tried to have a bit of fun with it, and I think by the time you got to the end of the story, you realised it was a joke.
Just well played, Duncan.
But we seem to have gotten a few people hot under the collar about this. But I think we were going to give it away when we said, in a surprise move, Zuma has appointed Sahara Computers founder Atul Gupta as interim minister until a permanent appointment is made. Gupta, who will take the reins at the new ministry effective immediately, has been charged with fast-tracking the allegations. I think that might have had a few eyeballs popping out of heads this morning. And then, of course, in the final paragraph, Zuma, however, has moved to justify his decision, saying in a television interview earlier on Friday morning, quote, "Anyone angry about this is a real fool." But there were a few good jokes around, I thought, today. Not as many, I thought, as last year. The one I particularly enjoyed was one done by Yuppie Chef. It's worth going to have a look at their website. They might have taken it down now because we're recording this in the afternoon. But they announced that they're going to do deliveries via radio-controlled helicopters, and did a whole video around it as well. So it's, if it's by the time, if you're listening to this at the time, it may be off the Yuppie Chef website, but go have a look there. Perhaps they've archived it. It's well worth having a look at that for that video. So we don't have a winner and loser this week, so I think we're going to pop straight off across to our Apple product pick of the week. What have you got, Rechot? In fact, so, it's not even an app or a product. It's a service.
It's a service. Mm. And, I mean, yeah, I spoke to you a little bit about this as it happened, and I finally got my fiber to the home installed. One of the reasons why I was putting off I didn't really want to spend the upfront installation cost. I didn't want to really spend 1,700 Rand to... you know, to get it installed, and then also my ADSL line was sufficient. Anyway, then I came across and I was snooping around last week around the public holidays, and I saw that Celsius was actually doing a trial where they did the installation and everything for free. So I've quickly got online, try to find out what's happening, and see if I can get hold of them and actually get it going. Unfortunately, the trial, from what I understand, is over, but they actually continue their service where they pay for the installation, give you all the equipment, and you get first 3 months free. So it's a 12-month contract, so I only pay for 9 months. But what was really fascinating and phenomenal was the fact that within 48 hours from the time that I contacted Cell C, I had fiber, 20 meg down, 20 meg up, fiber in my house.
Very nice.
Service was phenomenal. The guys from Vumatel was absolutely amazing, laying the cables from the box to where I wanted it in the house. I hate to say it, but this is the kind of service that I never got from Telkom in my 16 years of owning a telephone line and ADSL. And the service is phenomenal. The speed is amazing. It's an uncapped account with no limitations or no shaping.
No shaping.
From what I understand,
How much are you paying for this?
The price would be $8.99 when I start paying. Yeah, yeah. I believe that there will be other packages. For now, it's just a 20 down, 20 up.
Uncapped,
yeah.
That's brilliant.
I've started to upload all my photographs and things.
That's brilliant.
20 meg upload is phenomenal to have.
Yeah.
I found, especially with the videos, I do a lot of video uploads. Obviously, it's a given that is much faster. But doing stuff like using my Dropbox account actively again,
yeah,
I'm backing up everything. And it's such a pleasure to have instant upload speeds at your disposal.
And posting video to YouTube, what a pleasure.
Yeah, no, it is. It's absolutely amazing. And watching YouTube, everything, obviously, YouTube and Netflix, everything jumps up to 1080p. And there's no buffering, obviously. It does change your life completely. And even my wife has said, you know, it's not having that initial issue to just get the content you want, everything is snappy.
Now tell me the million-dollar question. How difficult was it to cancel your service with Telkom?
Oh yeah, I'm still trying to cancel.
Oh my word!
Yeah, because my DSL part of my line was hosted with AfriHost, or they were managing it.
Yeah.
So I've cancelled with them, but they still need to transfer. Well, they transferred the line back to Telkom, and Telkom can only really cancel anything on my line once that's back in their hands. And
and
getting through to them is absolutely impossible. Didn't used to be like that 2 months ago when I tried to get hold of them for something else, but I tried 2 days to get through and get my line cancelled.
Well, I suspect when you go through the cancellations line, the queue's much longer than on the applications line.
Oh, probably. So, yeah, unfortunately, I'm still not out of the clutches of Telkom yet, but
if
your house is in a fiber hood, so to speak, I would say check out this deal. It's well worth it, especially because they're paying all the upfront costs.
Yeah.
And you literally have fiber for free for 3 months, and then thereafter your installation stays yours. So after a year, if you do then decide to move, depending on what the other players in the market are doing. But so far, I've been very impressed with Cell C. Even the guys that came out to do the installation, well, you know, they were very efficient, very good, explained everything that I need to know. Well done.
Okay. Well, in the next couple of months, hopefully, I'll have some reporting back to do at my house, because Telkom is deploying FTTH. sometime in the next couple of months. So let's see if their service is a bit better than their DSL service. I must say, I'd much rather have Vumatel. Anyway, I think that's the show. No, I need to do my pick.
And we need to do the answers.
But let me do my pick quickly. It's a very quick one. My new wife and I were looking for a shopping app to allow us to manage household purchases and make sure we don't double purchase stuff as well. So we had a look at all the different shopping apps out there, and there are an amazing number of shopping apps for Android. And we eventually settled on an app called Out of Milk. It's been around for quite a long time, I believe. Mm-hmm. But it works brilliantly. You sync them up between yourselves, and it's real time, and you just tick off the items as you go. What I like is that it's got a built-in voice recognition in it as well, so if you want to add something to your shopping list, you just say milk, for example, or bread rolls.
Nice.
And it'll pick up what you're saying and just add it automatically to the shopping list. And it's a brilliant way. So you go to the shop, you just fire up that app on your phone, and as you put stuff in the basket, you just tick them off. And it avoids duplication, and it's a great way of making sure you don't run out of stuff, important stuff like toilet paper.
The white gold.
Anyway, let's do those quiz results. I think they were fairly easy this week, maybe with one or two curveballs here or there. Let me pick up the first one. The question was, what is the screen size of Apple's new iPhone SE? The answer, of course, is the same as the iPhone 5, and that's 4 inches.
The second question, which bank has the most ATMs in South Africa? And for a bonus point, which bank has the second? The answer, APSA and then Standard Bank.
The third question is, Dimension Data sister company NTT Data has acquired the IT services subsidiary of which giant American technology company? And the answer is Dell, and they paid $3.1 billion for that acquisition, which is just $100 million less than NTT paid to buy Dimension Data.
Interesting. Fourth question, Eskom hiked its tariffs by how much on the 1st of April? And the answer, an unfortunate 9.4%.
9.4. Eskom, of course, wanted much more than that.
Mm.
But they were slapped down by their regulator, NERSA. And the final question, what is the name of the new stock exchange being launched in competition with the JSE? It's being launched later this year. And interestingly, it's going to be largely a virtual exchange, which I think most stock exchanges around the world are now. There's none of that people standing and shouting and screaming and people standing with chalkboards and stuff of old. And the answer is ZARX, ZARX.
Definitely looking forward to seeing that when it launches. Maybe I'll start dabbling in the market, you never know.
Yeah. Right, that's the show for this week. As always, if you've got any feedback, you can mail us info@techcentral.co.za, or leave a comment under the post. Until next time, and next time will be a lot sooner than this episode appeared. From Rekha and myself, take care and cheers.
Ciao, ciao.